I hereby introduce to you Mr. Michael Veazey.
Hey, 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 welcome to Amazing FBA, the place to be for UK-based Amazon entrepreneurs. I'm your host, Michael Veazey. Welcome to the show. Welcome back to Amazing FBA's seven-part series on marketing mastery. This is the basic principles of marketing and indeed business as a whole applied to Amazon and specifically how to do FBA and private label stuff on Amazon and actually make it work, make a profit, as opposed to just thrash around blindly and hope. So the first principle we dealt with, which is the most important one of all, which is supply and demand. If there is no demand for a product, don't bother going into it. Now, that doesn't mean you have to go for something in 100 BSR in the United States where people are selling tens of thousands of units a day. That is not necessary. In fact, I would advise against it because of the second basic principle, which is part of the first principle, really, the second basic aspect of the first principle, which is competition. If you've got huge competition, you're going to have massive costs and you're going to have price wars. And that basically means you won't make profit. You may sell a lot. It may look impressive to your friends, but that isn't going to make you profit. And that's the name of the game. The second principle, which we looked at in the second podcast of this series, was about differentiation. If your product is exactly the same as everybody else's, then the only way you can make it different is, drum roll please, price, of course, and also the average review. But if it's pretty much the same as everybody else's, it's going to be about the price and the quality of the product will result really in the review. If you've got a very cheap product, you may get slightly led off a bad review if it's a poor quality product, but fundamentally people will judge the product. It seems on Amazon, actually, it doesn't make much difference if you're selling a cheap and nasty product. People still expect it to be good by some magic. So be aware of that. So in other words, your reviews aren't really, after a while, going to make much difference. Yes, you can get there initially if somebody's got three reviews on page one, if you're going for a very low demand product, then okay, you can probably beat them on reviews initially, but eventually you've got to differentiate. So if you haven't heard those two podcasts, do go and listen to those and read the show notes as well. This is stuff to absorb. This isn't just stuff off my bat. This is based on the work of other marketers who I don't have the right to necessarily reference, but trust me on this, this is not just Amazon. This is marketing in general. The third principle is what we're going to go at today. So basically, the first principle is how do I get on page one and make sure there's enough demand? The second principle in terms of Amazon is simply in a differentiation. How do I get somebody to look at my listing and click on it? And that's not just about price, but you have got to get the price the right way. Third principle is then once you've got people on your listing, how do you get them to click through and buy? So today is dealing with the problem of low conversions. So that means wasted ad dollars, low sales, and probably no profits, or certainly very, very low profits. And the solution is optimization. So first of all, we've got to define the word conversion. What does that actually mean? Well, there's a few things that are easily seen in the Amazon ads data, which Amazon doesn't really show for the organic sales. But if you were running a website, it would be the same kind of thing. So these are the basic fundamentals that you need in any kind of online sales, really. And they have their offline equivalents as well. So this is kind of, in a way, a modern take on something very ancient. So first of all, you have your impressions. That is how many times your ad shows up, or if you're talking about the organic side of it, how often your listing shows. We don't know how often the listing is shown organically because Amazon, like so many things, does not choose to share that data with us, which is a pain in the what's it. But we can get data from the Amazon ads, which show you how many impressions, i.e. how many times your advert is shown. Then the next thing is the clicks, i.e. when people have clicked on your advert. And again, we don't have a percentage of information of how often your listing is clicked on when it appears organically. Again, Amazon doesn't choose to share that with us, but it is an important bit of information. We don't know what that is. When it comes to conversions, then that is simple. And that is the percentage of people who bought from your page over the people who visited your page, or on Amazon, the percentage of people that clicked buy or add to cart and actually went ahead and bought, divided by the number of people who visited your listing. And that is something that Amazon will give by product, broken down by month or by day or by whatever time frame you want. And that is given for all sales across the board. And also Amazon ads will show you that data as well. So partly because we have more data on this, it is something that is very much under our control as in what is happening. So we can really, really optimize this with some fine tuning that is possible at a good level, even on Amazon, where we get less data than you might want, and that you would have better data if you had, for example, a Shopify store and were driving Google traffic. You would certainly get much better data from that. So within the Amazon world, optimization is still very possible. So there are four elements that you need to think about optimizing. Those are the photos, keywords generally, and that sort of ties into the title, the bullet points, and the description. Okay. The first thing to say is you kind of have two different audiences. When you are trying to get yourself on page one, you are basically targeting the algorithm, as in Amazon's computers, not people. Because obviously, if it isn't on page one or possibly page two, not many people are going to see your product listing, okay? Then when it appears in the search results, or even if it's an ad that's shown, to get people to click through, that is more about people. So to get people to click through, your main image is crucial. So is your title, but that's kind of obvious. So it's not too much rocket science is needed for that. But you need to decide which keywords you're optimizing for and the price. So when people have done that and clicked through to your listing, those are also very, very important things. I just want to reemphasize first amongst photos, the main product shot is crucial. Really need to differentiate it from the competition. And going back to principle number two, you really need to differentiate the product from the competition before you even begin to think about, you know, how you photograph it and market it. Because if it is the same as everything else, sooner or later, your products will simply be shopped on price, right? However great your photos are. However, having said that, if you have a very thin product, you probably want to put it into the shot with the packaging. If it's a very black and white or otherwise not very colorful product, or even if it is, but the color isn't very obvious, then you probably want to put some colorful packaging in with it or something like that. Now, Amazon's terms and conditions are always changing, but it may be against terms and service. That is something you have to decide for yourself if all your competition is doing that, whether you're going to compete with them on the sort of slightly dodgy ground outside TOS. And then, you know, maybe your listing will get suspended and you just have to change it, or whether you're going to be a good boy or girl from the start. That is a decision I can't make for you, and I can't advise you exactly to break terms of service. But put it this way, many people do until they get their wrist slapped and then they go back and change the listing. So when it comes to the other photos, they are not as crucial as the main product shot. However, once you have got onto the listing, they do help. As Kevin Kigg said recently on an interview I did with him, which is coming out in the podcast over several parts, if you haven't heard that yet, do go and listen to that. Then you're going to be judged on your weakest shot. So make sure all the shots you use, as in the photos, but shots is what photographers tend to say, by the way, if you're dealing with British or American ones, then they all need to be good quality. The first seven shots are the most important ones, and the last two are hidden unless shoppers click on them. So don't use those for anything crucial. One thing that a lot of people still aren't doing on their listings, and I think there is an opportunity for all of us until everyone starts doing the same thing, is to have two or even three shots with a model using the product, preferably in a logical sequence. So for example, if you've got a bike light, you might have the model taking it out of their packet, you might have them fit it onto their bike, and then them standing next to their bike with the light on looking happy about it. I mean, this is off the top of my head. I'm not saying this is like the perfect way of doing it, but you get the idea. If you have more than one product, you could consider having the seventh shot being a composite picture of your other products, preferably with the ACE encoder under each one and a little text telling the shoppers to put the code in the search bar. Again, is this against terms of service? Of course it is, because Amazon wants to choose what they cross-sell on your listing rather than you choosing it. Again, it's something you have to decide for yourself whether it's worth the risk or not. Don't expect massive cross-sales from this, but it increases the probability of it, right? I would personally use the last two shots for little product details because, as I said, they aren't going to show up in most listings. Now, there might be a few categories where you don't get nine shots anyway, but the majority of the ones that I've looked at, either for myself or for potential products for my mentees, which is quite a few recently, then they all seem to be generally nine shots. So it is exceptional that your category won't allow that. Many sellers also put text on their images, which is effectively mini bullet points. It's against terms of service, but it does seem to help. And again, you've got to make those decisions about how far you want to push it. So photos are one of those things where terms of service is quite often ignored. So decide it at your peril, but it's your business. You have to make that decision. My experience is probably you will get your wrist slapped eventually and your listing may get suspended, in which case you go back, make sure your photos conform to terms of service, and then you're okay again. So I can't guarantee that's all that would happen. Your choice, your risk. Okay, on to keywords. So these are for two different audiences, for the algorithm and for humans. So for the algorithm, it helps match the customer searches to keywords in your listing and use the Amazon Ads data, if you have it, which keywords give the best return on investment, basically the best sales in absolute volume terms, that sort of thing. If you're just starting out, use AMZ Tracker or something else to examine the competition and keep an eye on competitive listings as well. So use things like ASIN Inspector, I'm just trying to think, Keyword Inspector, that sort of thing. Those are really, really valuable tools. I use those a lot. And I think those are where the serious sellers are using those now, copying what works, basically, and then improving on it. Bear in mind, for humans, though, by the time you've got people to click on your listing, we are thinking about humans more than machines. Now, don't get overexcited about your bullet points. They aren't necessarily going to change everything. It's more about the photos and the price, but you may as well, just for those people who are wavering, make sure that the relevant keywords are woven into the copy. Try and focus on those words that convert well if you have the data. And if you haven't got any data yet, then use those things I was saying, AMZ Tracker, etc. Three places to optimize for keywords. One is in the title. And again, you've got Amazon's rules. You might have a 30 character limit, 80 character limit, whatever it is in your category. Again, some people break that and put a keyword stuff title. It doesn't look that great. On the other hand, it may help to you to rank. Amazon's algorithm's always changing and I don't have a sort of inside view on that. So perhaps compromise and put a few sensible but big important keywords in there. Ideally, you've got to get your product title in next. Certainly in terms of Amazon's terms of service, you're supposed to put your brand in and then the model of the actual product. Very few people seem to do that. So that is one of those things, rules that is absent in reality more than it is present. So up to you what you want to do. The bullet points, you've got to bear in mind getting features into benefits. So for human beings, you want to think about saying, for example, instead of this light has a Xenon 2 1.45 lens, what the hell does that mean? I don't know what that means. I don't care. And you've got to say something like, so the light is more focused, brighter and more visible at night. And if you can, answer ultimate benefits. And what that means is what somebody's real underlying reason is for wanting a product. Apart from wanting it itself because it's cool, which is something you might want to emphasize, it could be something like safety, for example. That might be a big underlying emotional driver and ultimate benefit, therefore, for a bike light buyer. I say that because I ride bikes around London, but I don't sell bike lights. And by the way, I wouldn't go into selling bike lights. Anything that's offered on a podcast, as an example, is likely to be a really competitive and therefore poor product choice. But you were warned, you choose to go into it on your head, be it, my friend. Okay. So, for example, as a cyclist in London, safety is very important to me. So if somebody would say something like, this light has Xenon 2 1.4B lenses, so the light's more focused, brighter and more visible at night, comma, which keeps you safe from traffic at a distance of up to 15 feet, full stop. Okay, so that gives me that feeling of, this will keep me safe, right? Now, as I said, don't over-engineer this. You should put plenty of keywords in your bullet points and your title and indeed the so-called back end as well, in order to get it to list as high as you can on the right pages for the algorithm. But don't expect human beings to be that swayed by the bullet points. The other thing to say is that a lot of people are shopping on mobiles now. And again, this is thanks to Kevin King. So hats off to Kevin for this tip, which is in the US, at least 70% of Amazon sales are now made on the mobile. And I'd be surprised, I don't have the data for the UK, but I'd be surprised if it were much less in the UK. Certainly in London, everyone's tapping their smartphone every 2 minutes. And okay, London's a bit of a bubble. It's not necessarily typical of the rest of the UK, but it's where things are going. They tend to happen in London first. So if it isn't happening yet, it will be. And bear in mind, on a mobile device, is only the first three bullets show up unless you want to tap on something and then the next two bullets show up. So five bullets in total. Again, this is normal for most categories unless your category happens to be different. So you really want to make sure that if you've got something important to say, you get it in there in the first three bullets as well. Phew. So what about the description? That looks like a big job. You should flesh out your bullet points there. You can use simple HTML. Again, there are rules about what you should and shouldn't do. I don't think you need to do anything complicated, but try and make it look as pretty as possible. And again, make sure features are benefits, as we talked about earlier. However, if you have multiple products to launch, don't spend too much time on this because the Amazon algorithm probably doesn't index it anymore. And also, most importantly, it appears below several offers from Amazon of your competitors' products. So by the time your shopper has seen your description, it is probably just a little bit too late. They have probably clicked on somebody else's products or something like that. So it's worth having in because it fleshes out your listing. It gives it a little bit more feeling of completeness and professionalism. It's all part of the picture, but it's not worth over-engineering. So make sure that you spend, it's the 80-20 rule again. Make sure you spend 80% of your time and energy on the photos, on the main photo. The main photo must be wonderful, really wonderful, better than the competition, differentiated, colourful. It must pop out of the page. Yeah, and pop out of the page, not only on a PC or on a laptop, but above all on a mobile when you're scrolling through quickly. So do a sort of scroll test, look at your competition, really analyse that, okay? Take huge trouble over that. The rest of your energy with the photos should go into the other 8 photos. And I would say 80-20 as well. I think 80% of your marketing energy really needs to go into the photos and 20% needs to go into the title, the bullet points and the description altogether. And then of that, I would 80-20 it that the bullet points are way more important than the description because they're still indexed by Amazon, although exactly how much we all don't know. But friends of mine who are cleverer than I am with computers say that they're not all entirely indexed and we just don't particularly know. But if in doubt, use it. Stuff it with keywords in an elegant way if you can. If you just want to stuff it with keywords, again, that's against terms of service and it doesn't look quite so good to a human, but it might get you ranking. So again, that's a decision you've got to make, right? But don't over-engineer all this stuff. If your product, just to recap the basic things, if your product has very little demand and massive supply, that's principle number one, which we dealt with in another podcast. Don't go into that market. The number of mentees I've now worked with who've gone into really hyper competitive markets and we're trying to fix it at the Amazon ads or the listing level is frightening me, you know, because people have not been well advised. Do not go into something where you're going to appear on page 10 unless you drop your price to the floor. That is just not smart. Okay. And again, if you haven't differentiated your product, you are going to be shopped on price. I can't say this enough. Amazon is basically a big price comparison site. And this is the reality now. It wasn't that way maybe 2 years ago when everyone got into it, when the world was young. But the USA particularly is hyper-competitive. UK is getting that way, but it's just less brutal. The competition is less brutal. But then you've got lower demand. So you've got to check your demand figures more carefully in the UK as well. But then above all, the optimization stuff, let's just hit those points again. It's all about the photos. Did I mention the main photo? It's just so important. And if you have got a differentiated product, make sure it looks different immediately at first glance, even from a distance. You just got to go for that. So if everybody else has got a black product, make sure yours is red. Now, you don't have to necessarily mostly sell the red product. You could have variations, couldn't you? You could have a black product and a red product and a pink product, whatever. And then actually you could list the red product as your, you know, it will come up as the main image if it sells more. You can't particularly control that if you've decided to go for a parent-child relationship. If you do that, then Amazon will basically show up in the search results, the one that is selling the most, but then that's going to help you anyway, right? But if you wanted to say, I've got a red and a black variation of this product, particularly if you're in the UK where it's less competitive to rank and pay for giveaways and get reviews and stuff, you might want to say on page one, I want to have my black product and my red product and my pink product and then see which one sells the most. But the fact that you've got a red product will help you to sell. So what I'm trying to say is try and get a different color, you know, that is what you need to do, or different size, or bundle it. Those are the primitive ways of doing it. A different actual physical design is much, much better, harder to find. You're not just going to necessarily find it on Alibaba. I would start shopping away from Alibaba, and I'm increasingly going towards Hong Kong Trade Development Council, HKTDC, or global sources. Or if I get something from Alibaba, I'll go back to them and say, right, we got to change this in this way and that way. And I'm not very far down that process yet with getting unique products. I have to confess, I want to be absolutely cards on the table here. But all the big sellers that I'm interviewing at the moment keep saying the same thing. So I'm just finally beginning to practice what they preach, which is not something that I originally was trained in. So it's taken a while to do. Phew. So it is really, really, really worth getting this stuff right. What we haven't explored is the cost of a badly optimized listing versus the good side of a good one, right? So here is an example. So if you're selling a product for, say, $15 and you make $5 gross profit on it, let's say after Amazon ads, you make $3. So let's say you have to pay $50 for 100 clicks, and out of those 100 clicks, you're making 20 sales. So you've got a 20% conversion rate. Okay, it's just quite typical for a good listing. If your conversion rate is just 10%, you're going to pay the same amount in advertising costs, $50, and you are going to make just 10 sales from that. So those 10 sales will make you $50 profit, but then you've just wiped that out with your $50 in advertising costs. So you're actually just breaking even. So if you're at 10%, you're breaking even. If you go below 10% conversion percentage there, you will actually start making a loss on every single sale at that particular price point and, you know, at that particular advertising cost, right? So this is, again, another reason why you don't want to go into competitive market, because if you go into competitive market, there are two major pressures on price. One, it pushes your price down, as in the selling price. So you can't sell it for $15 and land it for $5 and have $5 in Amazon costs and, you know, make your $5 profit. It will actually mean that you have to sell it for, say, $12 or even $11 or something. And then you start getting into loss-making territory, right? The other side of the equation that sadly also gets worse, which is to say your advertising costs will go up pretty quickly when you get a couple of competitors entering your market and say you're selling LED bike lights and that's your main keyword and you're paying, say, $1 a click or something. Then suddenly if your competition comes and bids $150 for it, if you want to be showing on page one regularly, you might have to bid $160 or say $2. Suddenly your advertising cost has doubled, but your revenue has probably gone down because you've had to put your price down as well in order to get conversions. I hope you're following what I'm saying. So this is just, again, reiterating, don't go into a hyper-competitive market. You may make sales, but you won't make good profit. Just thought I'd say that again. If you're going to go into competitive market, by the way, you can do that as long as you massively differentiate your product. And, you know, if everyone's selling a widget for $10 and you're selling something fantastic for $60, you're not going to make that many sales, but your profit per sale is going to be astronomically higher than your competition. So you don't need to. And Kevin King, again, gave a fantastic example of that. In fact, two or three examples from his own product. So there is a man who knows his onions about this stuff. So please go and listen to that podcast if you haven't already. So coming back to the optimization side of things, if we take our example where you're paying $50 for 100 clicks, so, you know, about 50 cents a click average, and you convert at 20% conversion rate, so you get your product picture better and the title, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, you're in gravy if your costs stay the same. Unfortunately, here's one of the reality checks here. The main thing affecting conversion, apart from the quality of the photo and the relevance of the title, which is really not rocket science. So don't over-engineer the title. I mean, you just need to think about whether you're going to go, for example, bike lights, which is a massive competitive market, or LED bike lights as your main kind of overriding keyword, right? And that's something you need to think about in the USA more than the UK. In the UK, the competition's lower, but the demand is lower. So you need to capture more of a sort of total market. But apart from that decision, which is really something you need to make back before you touch a product, that isn't really about optimization, I would argue, right? Others might disagree. But the title's not a big thing. The photos you need looking fantastic, but then there's the price. Now, here's the killer. It's really tricky, but you can optimize for the price that is going to get you the maximum profit. Let's take our example again. So you've got a $15 product and you are selling it, you know, so therefore $15. Let's say the Amazon costs are about $5, which is typical on that size of product. And let's say that you've got a total landed cost of $5, which is very typical as well. So you're making $5 profit. Maybe you take out your ad costs and of about $2.50 per unit average, and you're making $2.50 a unit profit. Sounds good, except if you really want to go from 10% conversion to 20% conversion, getting fantastic photos and getting the right copy is probably not enough. You're probably going to need to drop the price to, say, $13, which means in our scenario, you're only making $1 of profit. Now, obviously, that's a pretty low end product and a fairly thin profit margin anyway. So that might not be a strategy that you might want to pursue, but there will be a price at which you are making the maximum profit. Because obviously, if you're priced at $15, say, and you're converting at 10%, you're making no profit at all in our scenario. Whereas if you're priced at $13 and you're converting at 20%, you'd be making $1 a sale, which is actually therefore more profitable. Now, these are slightly crass examples because you probably wouldn't get that big a difference in conversion percentage. But there will be a sweet spot between your sort of price, so the profit you make per unit, and the profit you make overall in terms of, you know, overall sales. And that can be determined by testing. Now, I started using software recently in the USA called AMZ Split, which they immediately changed to be called Splitly, which I think is a bit of a strange name, but maybe they have some lawsuits on their mind from Amazon. So basically, that I'm using to split test a product in terms of price. You can also split test photos or split test titles. Now, this is a fairly new thing. Split testing is like a given for people who ran websites back in the day when Google and websites really were very profitable business, like affiliate websites, whatever. For all I know, I mean, and that's not an area I've ever done myself. For all I know, it's still a great way to make money. I don't know. So this isn't the theme of the podcast. But the point is, split testing is a very old idea, which is basically you keep everything the same, except you want the element that you want to test. For example, if I'm selling my bike light, I keep the photos the same, keep the title the same, and I put it up for $15, and I put it up for $14.95, and I put it up for $13.95. Those would be three different sort of split tests. In practice, normally you just do an A-B test. So you do something like $14.95 and $13.95. AMZ Split will simply rotate every other day the different version. So $14.95 versus $13.95. And they'll do that for enough time to get a statistically valid sample. And they'll even tell you how statistically valid it is, what 95% probability that it's right, that kind of thing, which isn't enough for a scientist, perhaps, if you're doing, you know, proper statistical studies. But it's plenty for a business person to make decisions on, because the marketplace changes anyway every so often. So if you wait for 100% certainty, first of all, there's no such thing. But if you wait for 99 point something percent certainty, you're probably have got to the point where everything's going to change anyway. So AMZ Split, or Splitly, is a fantastic thing. I've written to them and begged them to do it in the UK. They're not yet doing it in the UK, but they are going to come back to me as a potential beta tester if they do that in the UK. And if that happens, I'll let you know. So folks, now you know pretty much as much as I do about this. Now, I'm not saying that I'm a genius at this stuff. This is a summary of my personal experience blended with some of the things that the really big sellers are saying. So it's always good to go and get another opinion and just don't take anybody's word as gospel. And the ultimate truth on this stuff comes from your own data. So I think the main thing is to start doing something which we're going to talk about later, which is test and measure everything, really. But this hopefully will give you a simple overview of the basics of the process. And if nothing else, you might as well give yourself a fighting chance by getting good photos, by well thought out listing and everything else. Again, I'm just going to reiterate one more time the principle number one, which is supply and demand. Please don't go into a marketplace where everyone's selling pretty much the same damn thing, where it's cheap and easy to manufacture and ship over from China, and it's a massive marketplace, because you are only going to sell if you drop the price through the floor. And if you do that, you're going to get rid of your margin, particularly if you're air freighting it. If you're sea freighting, you might get away with that. I wouldn't fancy your chances. Okay, so I cannot beg you enough to not go into an over-competitive market unless you really know what you're doing and you're prepared to do really, really aggressive giveaways. I've got friends of mine who are doing giveaways in, you know, top BSR areas, like top 100 BSR, and it's just frightening. You know, if you are really up for it and you really know what you're doing and you have the deep pockets, you can spend $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 on giveaways alone, never mind the manufacturing costs and the freight costs, etc., just to get yourself on page one for the main keywords. Right now, if you're going to do that and you know what you're doing, then good luck to you. You might make crazy amounts of money, right? But that is not a strategy for beginners. And if you are a beginner and you don't have really deep pockets, then don't go into a top, you know, 1,000 BSR product and expect to make money if you don't really, really carve out a niche of that for yourself and just cut most of the competition out and really be differentiated. You know, I don't know how to say this strongly enough. But anyway, I've made the point. So folks, go back and listen to these things and try and take on board what I'm saying, because these are basic principles which come from wiser people than me. All I can say that is, in my relatively humble experience, they have worked for me when I've observed them, and when I've gone against them, they have crashed me into the ground and taught me a tough lesson. So folks, that is it for today. Part four is coming up soon of the marketing mastery principles, and that is talking about having one route to market. I'll speak to you in the next podcast. That's it. Thank you so much for your attention. I really appreciate it. Now, over to you. First, 80-20 everything. Learn the critical few. Maybe there's one thing in this podcast that can make all the difference. Find that thing. 20% of inputs, give 80% of the outputs. Which are the critical few for you? Then take action. Imperfect action beats perfect inaction every single time. Finally, and not least, review. If you've made mistakes, learn from them. If you've made a success, duplicate it. You can't do that unless you look back. So in summary, learn the critical few, then do, then review. And then, my friend, it's up to you. That's it. Thank you so much for your attention. Speak to you in the next episode.